and loving Heavenly Father, giver of this and every moment, creator, sustainer of the universe. Though darkness deepens, Lord, with you we abide. Speak to us with open hearts and minds, through your word, through your silence, through your sacrament. Feed us with your living presence, warm us with your love, and send us home transformed, blessed, having been together. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, our family name. Transcendent Father, omnipresent Son, and Spirit indwelling. Amen.
Amen. A reading from the Book of Wisdom. Hear, O kings, and understand. Learn, you magistrates of the earth's expanse. Hearken, you who are in power over the multitude and lord it over throngs of peoples. Because authority was given to you by the Lord and sovereignty by the Most High, who shall probe your works and scrutinize your counsels? Because, though you were ministers of his kingdom, you judged not rightly and did not keep the law, nor walk according to the will of God. Terribly and swiftly shall he come against you, because judgment is stern for the exalted. For the lowly may be pardoned out of mercy, but the mighty shall be mightily put to the test. For the Lord of all shows no partiality, nor does he fear greatness. Because he himself made the great as well as the small, and he provides for all alike. But for those in power, a rigorous scrutiny impends. To you, therefore, O princes, are my words addressed, that you may learn wisdom, and that you may not sin. For those who keep the holy precepts hallowed shall be found holy, and those learned in them will have ready a response. Desire, therefore, my words. Long for them, and you shall be instructed. The word of the Lord. Our response is, rise up, O God, bring judgment to the earth. Rise up, O God, bring judgment to the earth. Defend the lowly and the fatherless. Render justice to the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the lowly and the poor. From the hand of the wicked, deliver them. Rise up, O God. Bring judgment to the earth. I said, you are gods, all of you, sons of the Most High. Yet, like men you shall die and fall like any prince. Rise up, O God, bring judgment to the earth. Alleluia, alleluia. In all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voice, saying, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord.
What is the worst part or aspect of yourself? What is the worst thing that you wouldn't want anyone to know? These passages speak to the inner dynamic of perhaps what occurs in each of us as we move from fragmentation into wholeness, from multiplicity into the fullness of the image of Christ within, of increasingly coming under the authority of Master, from the lowest slaves within us, so to speak, the easy pickings, to the highest level in us, the more stubborn and difficult to transform part of ourselves, from top to bottom, transformed and healed. Now, the question, what is that worst part of yourself that you wouldn't want anyone to know, in one sense is relative, because what we discover on the spiritual journey is there is no worst. Compared to what? It's all good. It's all loved. It's all welcomed. So, with that in mind, we can begin to remember in our own spiritual journeys places and times where we didn't have that sense of freedom and where we did not like something in ourselves. Something was occurring or something was coming up that was so evident to us that it convicted us, perhaps, it ashamed us, perhaps, or it just bothered you or someone in your life. So the image of this worst part of ourself, this worst aspect of ourself, is conveyed in the gospel passage by the leper. The leper in the scriptures means all sorts of things, but there is no question that the leper represents that worst aspect or the most challenging part of ourself. Lepers were the lowest part of Jewish society, Middle Eastern culture. And it's even worse than worse because it's not just a leper. It's a Samaritan leper. And in our day and age, you might say an immigrant leper. That's essentially the energy that comes up around Samaritan. It's the person that you don't want in your neighborhood. At least that was the thinking back then. It's not so different today. The worst of the worst, the immigrant leper, the infectious disease from another country. It's that energy of resistance and fear, we don't want it, that we can begin to understand that the spiritual and psychological application for this passage as we apply it to ourselves is that part in us that we are most uncomfortable with. Now, in my life, it started out as the externals that I didn't like about myself. And those external things are easy for everyone to see, like leprosy. You can't miss it. And if you're honest with a friend or a loved one and you told them the thing you didn't like the most about your external appearance, they'd probably say, yeah, I know. Or, yeah, that's true. Or, I could see why you think that. It doesn't mean that it's actually true or there's any reality to it. It could be our stinking thinking that is looking at the mirror and not liking what's coming back to us. The point I'm trying to get at is there are these easy things that we don't like about ourselves, typically on the external level. And I know, being a pastor long enough, that as people age and get older, it's harder and harder to love oneself because the thing we love so much goes away. Our beauty, our youth, our sense of self, it changes. It's a little more difficult when we start to look at the inward stuff, which is one of the things that the work of Inner Christianity on Thursday nights helps us do. It provides this safe container for us to look at that stuff within us that's not so physically evident. You could be a beautiful, wonderful person and be murderous on the inside, and no one would know it because you look so wonderful on the outside. There's a word for that. Jesus calls them hypocrites or Pharisees or whitewashed tombs, dead on the inside, but nice on the outside. I'd rather be with people who may not look so nice on the outside, but who are beautiful on the inside. The journey that we have to consider tonight in this passage is to recognize that the story of Jesus confronting the leper is one of awakening and recognizing. I don't know if you caught that word, but only one of the lepers, one of the ten that was healed, realized that he was healed. And it's in the realizing that he's able to return and give thanks. And here's the beautiful thing, is that we live in a world of people suffering, but they don't realize why they're suffering. And this realization is, in many ways, the second step of the process of our healing. The first step we heard was crying out for help. The lepers, apparently all ten of them, see Jesus. They've heard about him as a higher influence in their community, and they can't come close to him because of the laws prohibiting a leper to come too close. So they cry out for help. Save us, help us, heal us. First step, crying out for help. The second step is realizing the help has been given. And the third step in the passage is returning to give thanks and to be confirmed in that healing. So, in my life, this really becomes about two things. Number one, consciousness, that I'm awake enough to realize, and number two, conscience, which is the level of feeling, of being sensitive enough on the level of feeling. And I can be very asleep in my inability to be aware of the problem that I need, that the problem that needs to be healed. And I have gone in my life, for years, sometimes decades, being blinded to that thing in me. I saw certain aspects of myself that I thought were in need of healing, but I didn't see other aspects of myself. And it was only in the living of life, through relationships, and through humbling, that I began to see, oh, I need healing in this area too. It's not just these things, it's something deeper. This is the level of realization, the level of seeing more clearly the self, the level of having more consciousness, more light on the inside that reveals the depths of my need for healing. It's easy to stay on the surface. It's easy to get the low-hanging fruit. you know, to see the anger come up. It's easy to see when you get angry. You can see how that anger gets healed over the course of time through the prayer, through a little bit of light, through the work. You can begin to see how anger dissipates. You become more patient. But what about that more insidious or difficult passion that arises, like lust or greed, that lingers deeper in the belly, so to speak, hiding from the light? And the low-hanging fruit of our transformation in God's grace beautifully tends to be healed quickly on the spiritual journey. And the layers of healing and peeling then continue, which is why Father Thomas and so many other wise teachers say the journey gets worse before it gets better, because the light shines in the darkness and reveals things to us that we didn't realize were there. So don't despair. The leprosy is deep, but the healing is profound and possible. And so no one person in any group is at the same place as everyone else, which is a grace, because we're at different places of unloading and healing at the same time. And that's a grace, because if we were all at the same place at the same time, it'd be a little insane. So we can encourage each other. When you're feeling the heat of the light of consciousness burning away the falseness and revealing something that you didn't even know was in you, and it's so humbling, and it's so heartbreaking sometimes, the temptation is to not realize what's happening and to miss the completion of the healing like the nine did. The temptation is to walk away from the presence of true healing and be incomplete in the healing. Or perhaps not as full as it could possibly be. So be patient with yourself and that worst thing in you, and also recognize that there is no worst in the economy of God. There is only opportunity for deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper healing and transformation. I always was touched by this passage as a kid. I remember wanting to be like the one guy who returned. And I always wondered, what makes someone return? And why do so many people drive by the churches of the world, the healing centers of the world? It's as if they don't even feel the possibility. It's as if they're not even wanting to be healed. That's conscience, not consciousness, conscience. And St. Paul says that the world, the people of the world, the problem is that our conscience is seared and isn't functioning correctly, so that we don't even know that we need to be healed, that we don't even know that we need to say thank you. And the work calls that being fast asleep. And that is the only thing the work accuses us of being asleep. Asleep in what? Asleep in consciousness and asleep in conscience. So we don't know what to know and we don't know what to feel. And this is a dilemma, and this is really what's wrong with the species. We're asleep. And we're not integrated. We've got these multiple brains, that reptilian brain that's not under the authority of the neocortex, that beautiful thinking brain. We get angry and that limbic system goes off and consciousness disappears, and that's where we do stupid things. We act out. So we're really in a great deal of need. We are the living lepers. We are a leprosy colony on this planet. And the problem is that we don't realize it because we're so nice. Because we've invented the iPhone and the internet, and because we can save ourselves from cancer and have heart surgeries. And we've done so much. But yet we still don't realize the depth of our need for inward healing. And so the passage that Christy read from us from the book of Wisdom is crying out, you rulers, you people who think you're perfect, you're the ones that the Word of God comes to and, as it were, confronts. The little people of the world, the peasants of the world, as the Scriptures talks about it, they're innocent because they understand their need. But it's the ones who are the mighty ones of the land within us that don't realize they need to bend the knee, so to speak, that they need to cry out to God, that they too need to come under the authority of consciousness and be quickened to a deeper, fuller kind of life. It's the good people, the nice people, you might say, the religious people, that we have to watch out for the most. And I'm not talking about out there, I'm talking about those aspects in here, the Pharisees in us, who are so quick to judge the lepers based on their external appearance and have no idea that within themselves is a colony of lepers in need of healing. Jesus does something really interesting, and he speaks the word, and apparently just the speaking of the word from the distance heals the lepers. He says, go and show the priests that you've been made clean. In other words, he uses the context of their religious understanding and doesn't step outside of it. He uses their understanding and the system that is in place for their means of healing. Go and show the priests. This higher level of consciousness that was represented by Jesus the Christ uses the system at hand. And though he was a great critic of it, he also was a great respecter of it and worked within it, from within it. And so I think it's a word to our iconoclastic tendencies to want to throw away the old religion that doesn't work, and realize that we ask God's grace to come in and transform that which is old and make it new. There is a point where you can't have new wine in old wineskins, and Jesus clearly demonstrates that he is new wine. But in this instance, he uses the system that was in place, which I think is a mercy and a grace. I also think it's a lesson in not drawing too much second force too early, because he was very aware that he was under the watchful eyes of the Pharisees, and if he was to cross the line and break the law, so to speak, they perhaps would have seized him too early, and his journey would not have been complete. So he worked within the system, not drawing that second force. And this gets to, I think, the opportunity that all of us have as well to be walking healers, because we've been wounded and healed ourselves. To be, like Henry Nouwen said, wounded healers. That we carry forth the gratitude and the love and the awareness that where we have been healed, we can be lights in the world to others. We can be conveyors of healing within the system of our family that is in place, the old systems that have wounded us even, the work systems that we'd like to get away from. We go into the system out of love, not trying or telling it to be different, but working within it and offering our words of peace and grace, and perhaps 1 out of 10, 10%, if that, maybe 1%, might hear and respond to your ministry of healing. So, for me tonight, I personally was convicted by the awareness of how little I realize and return to the Lord, and how much I take into my own authority and control. But here we have a passage giving insight into the inner process of our healing and transformation, taking away that which we think is the worst and making it beautiful, and giving us the opportunity to return our lives with total gratitude, saying, thank you, Lord. From inside out, you have touched my life and healed me, and I'm never too good to still need your healing grace. I'm never too sanctified. I'm never too integrated to stop needing you. I've never become too much the master of my three centers that I can't also still be your servant washing your feet and the feet of my brothers and sisters. I can never be too big for my britches. I am always invited to keep asking for help, to keep receiving the mercy of healing, and to keep returning with that awakened consciousness and conscience to say thank you. Perhaps I'm not the only one on this journey tonight. Amen. Thank you for listening and partaking in this healing. I thank you for your presence here this evening. It is a blessing to worship together. If you've ever wondered, well, if Jesus were around, I'd cry out too to be healed. And the truth is that divine influence still is. The presence is here at the table. The presence is in the silence. And the presence is in the fierceness of the work. I will never leave you or forsake you. I am coming to you by the power and presence of the Spirit. And we have the privilege of experiencing this journey of healing little by little together as a community. The love of God, the grace and healing power of Jesus Christ, and the peace and presence of the Holy Spirit is with us now and always. Amen.